Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr., going to be in a lot next week as well with Biscuit on vacation. And we appreciate that. And Luke, so you got a lot of days next week.
Let's do it.
As many as you can stand. So give us a call here, 8150-939. That's the number, 3831939 for the UPS Jobs text on. I think I experienced the lamest like BBN trash talk person online yesterday who responded to the shoe video with spend some money and get practice jerseys. Practice jersey smack talk.
Only in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I doubt some Florida State fans looking at Florida practice videos and say, get some practice jerseys.
At least not basketball anyway, for sure.
That's right.
Like, at least not bad. Maybe a football, maybe some football trash talk, but basketball.
No, a Florida State fan watching that video would be like, I can't believe the ACC keeps us from getting good practice jerseys.
You're right. Say with Clemson, maybe.
Definitely.
But Clemson's not as talkative about it.
Clemson is Jesus didn't wear a practice jersey.
Yeah, they'd subtweet us. They wouldn't say it directly. They'd subtweet us. Florida State do it direct.
Find the DMs.
Yeah, it's just like, you guys should get some practice jerseys. Yeah. You guys should get some practice jerseys. Now, that is actually very lame. The practice, like, come on, guys. Like,
And yet, it is indicative of what it's like here.
It is.
I mean, we all made fun of Joker Phillips having the ice cream truck come out to practice. We all had fun with. There's nothing you can't use.
That Calipari like step by step video they did a few years ago.
Wait, what?
There's that practice video with Kentucky, and they just took like a step. It was really cheesy.
Calipari said, "I don't know." Yeah, first of all, I need you to find that. But I mean, nothing. It's impossible to top. Was walking on the beach this morning. I saw footprints in the sand, and it reminded me of that poem, "Footprints in the Sand." That's the all-timer to me.
That is one of the. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Magic.
It's literally how Magic tweets.
It is.
Magic uses Twitter like Facebook, like just like I said, Kenny Payne did. Magic definitely.
Magic
does.
Tweets are like the subtitles, but not like what the people are saying. They're like the descriptors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like those things. We're sort of like the scene setting ones, like those. That's what his tweets
exactly
are like.
It kills me. Like. It's like.
I can't tell you how many people like in other places, like we constantly just send each other Magic Johnson tweets because they're they're hilarious.
How's this like a
they're
thread?
They're so basic. Thread yes. Magic yeah.
They don't tweets.
Like the one the other day that was maybe the most emotional he ever was like, I'm mad that the Celtics have more championships than us. Because 1817, obviously.
Thanks, Magic. Like, thanks, even Magic. That, true, and everything is like, okay. So are the rest of us.
My favorite Magic moment, though, is when they were like, oh, what about the Lakers? I ain't going
to
be here.
No, that's it's impossible to beat that.
I ain't going to be here.
There are certain things that people do them when you're like, well, that's going to be a meme forever.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be here. Like, basically, Rob Pelinka snaked me, and yeah. I'm getting out of here. It's like, damn, Magic, you really just laid it all out there. Like, okay, I ain't mad at you for telling the truth, though. I can respect it. He's like, I got LeBron here. Pelinka swooped in and snaked me, and I ain't going to be here next year. Okay. Wow. And now the Lakers have hired J.J. Redick as their head coach. So there's that, too. So it's a train wreck of an organization. But I digress.
81-50-93-9. I wanted you to get that all the way out of your system.
Just had to. It just makes me sick thinking about it.
81-50-93-9. 38-31-93-9 for the UPS jobs text line. If you'd like to hit us up that way, you're welcome to do so. As well, can we pull these clips up of Josh Hurd discussing the budget here? We'll just start with the first one. The athletics budget for the upcoming year is set up. Some modest goals there and some reflections on several of the challenges that they are still dealing with, primarily consisting of freaking buyouts. Oof.
I feel like this is the first budget, like Nick hit on, since COVID, where we felt like we addressed a lot of the call them necessities as far as just travel and operational costs. There's some presumptions there that basketball is going to do, you know, better than it's done the last couple of years. But as I say, you know, if you're not going to be an optimist in this job, then why are you doing this job? So, I think it's a realistic budget and allows our head coaches and all of our department heads, I think, to stay within the budgets that we've outlined for them. So I think we're in a good position moving into 25.
Optimism is good.
Yeah.
Actual things to be optimistic about are even better.
Absolutely.
Probably diplomatic enough to not just say, like, it couldn't be worse. So
it has to go up.
It has to go up. But, I mean, they're doing the right things for it to go up. The question is, how – and I'm kind of curious what you think about this. Like, if they are, say, a six-seed caliber team this year, what do you think we're talking about the average attendance being in year one? Like, what seems like a real, like, a reasonable number? Because it's obviously going to be better than it has been. I think about last year's numbers in particular as, like, this is what it'll, like, this is the floor. No matter how hard we try to beat these people to death, they're going to keep coming. And it was, like, between 5,000 and 7,000.
Yeah.
But I also don't think I don't think that there will be 20,000 a game either.
No. It'll
maybe some.
Yes.
But certainly not the average.
No.
So I don't know what the record would be for that.
Like 20 and 12 or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. I think between 14,000 and 15,000 a game. I think that's realistic.
And that's basically a filled lower bowl and that middle section and then stragglers in the upper decks.
Yes. I think that's on a light end. I think because you've been so bad, a 20 win season could get you 16,000 to 18,000.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could. But I think you can bank on if you're a 18, 19, 20, 21 team, you know, win team, I think you could get 14 a game, 14,000, and that's being optimistic, but I think that's on the lighter end. I think people are so basketball starved for anything positive that number could actually be higher. And don't let them be a 22-23 win team. And the thing is, I think what will dictate a lot of this too is that you get early matchups that'll tell you how good you are. Like, you get that Tennessee matchup in November. You get the battle for Atlantis. You go to Atlantis and win multiple games, or you beat Tennessee at home. Now you're talking 16 a game, 17, 18 a game, I think, if you're that good. And you get a chance to set the tone early because Tennessee is in November, because the battle for Atlantis is early. So you get the chance to set the tone early. You win a couple of – you get a mixture of two or three wins out of those main games. You could be looking at, but I think you can expect between 14,000 to 15,000 on average, and I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit more. I was thinking like 18 and 19. I don't know why, but I'm thinking because the bar's been so low that if the team's competent at all, which they should be, that people just want to go back. Now,
this
not
true.
Every year, if you're a 60 level team, is it going to be that high? Probably not. But like this year, you know, new coach syndrome. Like we saw with football, and again, Jeff Brom's different because he's a home ground guy. But it's like you have a new coach. We're gonna be good. We want to see the product on the court. Like Tennessee's gonna be a good crowd. I think Ole Miss is gonna be a good crowd.
That too.
And then the some ACC games like Duke. I know it's a home game. Need to look at everyone else, but I know Duke with Cooper Flagg and everyone, that should be a very – that's going to be a filled arena because of the opponent and the name brand there. But
yeah, and the look, the exhibitions and the opener should be great crowds.
They will be. Wholeheartedly.
As well. Yeah. And I think as long as you avoid early in the year something that just sort of shoots a hole in everything, you should do fine. I think the secret of that thing just being like this money-making machine – for all the years in particular, when Rick was here, it's like, not only are we going to play great in these big games and you're going to love it, but like, if you come to any of these sort of the bi-ish kinds of games in the non-conference or whatever, we're going to beat the hell out of those guys.
Yeah. It's going
to
be fun.
Super fun. You're going to get to just rag these guys to no end. And you'll get to see some bench guys that don't normally get to play. I'll be ridiculous. Like, it was still a show when the opponent wasn't much of a, gosh, I'm trying to remember. On the baseline, or like at the scorer's table, the lights failed during the intro, and it took the opening was delayed just a little bit. I think this is 2014. I think it was an Ivy League team, but which one kind of escapes me now. They beat the life out of those guys full.
Yeah.
You know, probably 18, 19,000, you know, for that game. That, I think, is going to take a little while to get back in people's bones.
I agree.
But I think it was kind of one of those secrets of financial success, at least, that, like, there was every reason in the world to come to a game that wasn't in doubt.
Yes.
Because it was fun.
There it is. You have to – and that's the thing. That's why I think Kelsey won't have problems getting people there initially, because he's doing everything you're supposed to do to get people to show up. Like, you can't – you're showing that you care about the job, and you're doing – whether you want to or not. I think he enjoys these things, but he may not enjoy it this much. I mean, we talk to every single news station here in Louisville. Then you come on every single radio show multiple times on different days.
You think he's like, God, how many TV stations and radio shows are there?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, and that's not to say he doesn't enjoy it, but it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to do. The Drive, and to do the V Show, and then hop on with Diener, and then get on the Twitter Spaces, and then go on HAS and DRB and Wave and, you know, Spectrum News or whatever. Like, he's doing it all. Like, he's done it all multiple times. And so there's no excuse for people to say, oh, I'm not going because I don't know the coach, or I don't like the coach, or whatever. That can't be that's not going to be an excuse for people. Like, the fact that the coach hasn't been accessible for you to consume whatever kind of content he's putting out. And they're doing their job, too, on social media. I mean, they're putting out so much, even if it's just 10-second videos, 12-second videos, 13-second, like, these videos aren't very long and complicated, but it's giving you something. Whether it's just them posting a video of a hand slapping the poster of the UK U of L basketball game because it's on December 14th, or if it's the 15-second video of a shoe almost getting snatched off the ground, or if it's just a 12-second video to let you know Corin Johnson has made it to campus, right? Like, these are not complicated things, but they're things that keep people engaged. They're things that keep people aware, make them feel like they're there. Like, oh, our team is all complete because Corin's there, a Kanai's there, or whatever, like the last piece is there. Like, it's making them feel attached to a product that they haven't gotten to see yet, but it's going down. Those are the type of things that get people into the Yum Center. Like, whether you think it does or not, it does. It matters to people. And that's what they're doing, all the little things that matter.
8150-939. That's the number if you'd like to get in here. This whole idea of the revenue flowing out of that thing when they're good. If we play number two, Josh talked about this. Like, if everything's good, we're going to be fine. It hasn't been good.
Mm-hmm.
From an optimistic standpoint, when this athletic department is clicking on all cylinders, it has the ability to generate the revenue that we need relative to the changes that we're going to see moving forward. But in order for us to do all of that, we have to eliminate all the things that you just mentioned. And so that's what we're trying really, really hard to do. And, you know, I feel like the light's at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, but such is life. You know, there's probably going to be something that pops up somewhere. But, you know, right now, today, I feel like we can see some really positive things happening, and we just have to make sure that we eliminate or significantly reduce any of those things that impact us on, you know, on the expense side.
You know, it's funny, the things you were just talking about that he references there is buyouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to think about just how different, dramatically different, like the impact on your budget is. Even if your coach leaves, like, that's free.
Yeah.
But when you have to fire your coach, you have to fire your coach way before you think you're going to, that's very expensive.
Very.
Because now it creates this thing. It's like having an injured player on your roster. We're like, we're going to keep paying this guy, but he can't do anything.
It does nothing for us. It actually hurts us. It actually continues to hurt us.
Because now you got to pay somebody else to do the job too.
Exactly, and buy him out from wherever he's coming from, whether it's big, large.
Louisville needs an extended break from buyouts.
Yeah. I mean, and especially when you're paying on Chris Mack, and you're paying on Kenny Payne, and you're paying on Papa John's. Like, you're paying, like, it's a lot of money in buyouts right there. Like, then you have to pay your actual coach, which is Pat Kelsey, his salary, and buy him out from Charleston. So, like, those things on itself don't sound like anything until you start adding up these numbers. This is, you know, $3 million a year from Kenny, and $2 million a year for Papa John's, and another $1.5 million or whatever for Chris Mack or whatever. Then I have to pay Pat his actual salary, $2.5 million, whatever, and then buy him out from Charleston, 1.1 or whatever. Like, so it's a lot of millions there. And I'm not making or haven't made the money I typically make. Like, I have to put that too. My budget fell short $2 million when I already under budgeted, and it fell short $2 million. So yeah, it's tough, man. But to your point, the buyout seem, well, the Kenny thing is still there. But it looks like the Papa John's stuff is almost done. Looks like the Chris Mack thing is about wrapped up. And you're expecting to make more money moving forward than you've made in like 5 years. So all of that is going to help.
Yeah, I think the only real bummer on the schedule at this point, or the budget at least, is only got 6 home games for football this year.
Yeah, that stinks. That stinks. But, and you got, yeah, that stinks. But we've got to make the most of those 6 games. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am excited about the 6 games that we do have. But having 6 doesn't help when you're still trying to recuperate money from all these buyouts.
Especially when 2 games is, you know, Austin Peay and then Jacksonville State.
Yeah. Indiana, cowards.
Yeah.
You cowards.
And then your 3 best games are all road games. Clemson, Notre Dame, Kentucky.
Get Miami at home if they're going to be anything.
You know what? Like, this is where Jeff's got to do what I think other Louisville coaches have been good at on the football side, the same thing we were just talking about on the basketball side, where, look, this game won't be competitive, but we're going to beat the piss out of these guys.
Yeah.
And, like, that'll be its own kind of fun. The last thing you want is people to be like, I'm not going to watch you play Austin Peay and it be
26-6.
Yeah,
21-7.
I need 76-6.
No, yeah.
And most Louisville football coaches, to their credit, have understood that.
And Jeff Brohm's offense, when it's the way it's supposed to be, can do that.
Yeah,
like it can do that. I've been at games. Well, Western is the type of, but when he was at WKU and I was in college, like, kids would leave at halftime because it'd be 42-7.
That's a great problem.
Like,
cavernous kind of second half. Fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Like, It would be 42-7 at halftime. They would be, you know, just
everybody
smashed
on the party deck.
Yeah, they're smashed.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, I might need a nap now because I've screamed all I scream after 6 touchdowns. There's only so much more screaming I got left. And you got 6 of them out of me in the first half. Yeah, I might go take a nap before we hit the nightlife. You know what I mean? Like, that's. And so he's very, very well capable when things are clicking on all cylinders to do just that, what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, like the Lamar Jackson-Charlotte game. Like, it was over at halftime. It was over before it started. But by halftime, Lamar had 8 touchdowns in that game. And it was fun to watch.
Great crowd.
Yeah, because you had a guy that ended up winning the Heisman that year. But it's like we knew what was going on because we knew this guy was special.
Yeah, you got to put up fireworks if you want people to, you know, come stay, support a game that they could find something else to be doing. Or they could watch on TV or do on the – like, you got to put up some fireworks, make – get the train sound, the horns going for the train, and get people excited about coming watch you score a whole bunch of points.
Texter says, we should have a corporate sponsor for buyouts. This Kenny Payne firing is brought to you by Waste Management.
It's a good one. I like that.
I think this is a good idea.
More of these might be coming on. You never know. You might be sparking an idea for somebody.
It's like those Big Ten teams. Have you seen that? Like where like a family endows like the offensive coordinator position. And they're like,
yeah, I've seen that.
They're like the John and Sarah Jacobs offensive coordinator,
which
I would never say.
That is wild.
I've seen some of like even head coaches. Like, this is like, no, I'm just calling you the head coach.
Yeah, you're not the.
Like, James Franklin, you're the head coach of Penn State. Right. I don't care whatever donor donated a lot of money for this.
You give me any of it. I ain't calling you that. You want to put it on your letterhead? Fine.
Then go for
it. I'm a stadium snob to a degree, but I'm not going to call you your official title in terms of coaching position.
No, right. I think I agree with that.
Dude, even like this is so minuscule, but director of athletics, that bothers me.
Okay,
like I'm one
that
of those
sounds like people. Score the basketball.
Yeah, that's so stupid. Like, just say he's the AD, he's the athletic director. Like, why does I never understood that? Like,
assistant VP of admissions and athletics or something.
Yeah, it's just like no, just he's the AD. Like, I don't need the director of athletics. Like, that didn't even sound better to me. Like, what's the point even? Like, we all say athletic director. Like, that's literally what. Everybody ever says. I remember I was working at a news station. It was a guy who used to say that, like, on during his live reads. And I'm like, bro, like, I had to, hey, don't do that. You sound stupid. I mean, I had to say it is the technical term, but you sound dumb.
It doesn't make it sound cool, though.
No, it doesn't. And people at home are going to be thinking what I just thought. You sound stupid. Just say.
You had a word count to reach, and you were like, I can use three words instead of two words. So like, boost it up.
It's like, stupid. But, like, director of athletics, cut it out, guys. Josh Herbst, the AD. Whoever else, they're the AD. They're not the director of athletics. It's it bothers me, grinds my gears.
The coach of the basketball squad.
Like, what? What are we talking about, dude? Like, we're making things more complicated than what they need to be. Like, let's just keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Texture says, I've been to WKU games and Jeff was there. And yeah, they were fun.
Yes, they were.
I mean, last year was fun.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
No, he was. But I like
need more of that.
Yeah, I like to get back to the fireworks. And I think we will. I mean, it's all contingent on, I was saying this earlier, the quarterback room, if we're just talking about football. And I'm not limiting the quarterback room to Shuck because you have to prepare for life after Shuck potentially during the season. So the quarterback room, because I think you have enough weapons on the outside. I think you have guys in the backfield. What are you going to get out of that quarterback room? I think you have a good offensive line. It's kind of like, you know, guys that are returning, going to, you know, plug and play a couple of guys. What does that quarterback room look like? And I think if it's healthy and it's what it's supposed to be, you could get some 42-point halves. Like, that's very realistic, 35-point halves. And that is a lot of fun. It's a whole lot more fun than 10-point halves or 0-point halves that we've had, like the Indiana game.
We're living the opposite of the Iowa fan existence, right? Where Iowa fans, it's like this. It seems like on some level they've embraced, like, this isn't supposed to be fun. And they know it. And it's like the culture there. And for Louisville fans, like, yeah, we're winning, but, like, this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
There's got to be someone out there that's like their mom went to Iowa, their dad went to Virginia, so they like Iowa football and Virginia basketball. Yikes. And that's got to be the most miserable existence out there.
The worst house divided ever.
Hey, you get to have those fan bases,
like,
really?
The sloth from Zootopia.
Oh my goodness, yeah, that is awful. Virginia basketball and Iowa football.
Like, I can't think of anything less enjoyable.
Yeah, gouging my eyeballs out. Like, what is going? Like, Virginia had a fun player, Ryan Dunn, last year, and it still
didn't look fun to me.
Yeah, like, it was awful. Like, if you look at his highlights just on it, because the draft is coming up, so, like, they're showing his highlights a lot because he's going to be a first round pick. And it's like, wow, this dude played for them? Like, I almost forgot. Because it's like,
it's always funny when you see somebody, you're like, how did he end up there?
Yeah, like, that is not their style at all. Just a bunch of block shots, steals, and dunks. Like, above the rim dunks. Like, oh my goodness, this dude is a fun player. Just played for Virginia. Now I remember him a lot because he was dunking all over Louisville. But everybody was. So I didn't know he was that good.
That didn't differentiate him.
Yeah. That didn't help.
You might not remember him.
Like, it didn't help because I was like, well, everybody dunks on Louisville.
It's like saying, like, the Pinson kid for Pittsburgh shot the lights out against us. I was like, well, yeah, but that doesn't narrow it down.
Not at all.
That doesn't help.
It was going to be somebody. Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't him, it was whoever. Like, and it happened every game. somebody got off, got their career, and like, man, who is this kid? He's good. Maybe he was good.
Texture said, have we spent all this time, money, and patience with Pierce Clarkson only to see him into the portal after this year? On one, maybe.
Maybe.
That's life.
Very realistic.
Yes, life, that's right? Very, but two, I'm not thinking that if he doesn't like take over the job by the end of the year, he's out of here. His dad has been pretty adamant. Like, they knew exactly what they were signing up for. And I don't know where he would go that he would just immediately take right over. And he has to think he's in great position to take over next year.
Absolutely. With
year
with
three way with, ahead of everybody else.
With 3 years of eligibility. Like, with 3 years to play. And that's not to say he'll exhaust all three of them, but right. He'll have 3 years to play. But that is life. And the one thing that I will say, like, to your point, Mark, that is encouraging is that his dad's still doing media. Like, his dad is still very much Louisville all the way. Like, if they post something about California involving Louisville, like, his dad is active on social media. So they're still very engaged. Like, so that tells me the plan is being executed. Whatever the plan that was made between the father, Pierce, and Coach Brom and staff, it's being executed. Because if it wasn't, we'd hear about it. Like, we've seen disgruntled parents, even with high-profile coaches. So if they felt like they were being slighted in any kind of way, they would move on. But to your point, Mark, if he decided to move on with zero career starts, where's he going to go? He's got to go FCS. He wouldn't go Power 5.
I was going to say, like, the best, and this is maybe the local connection, like, Brock Vandegrift was at Georgia. He never started. He goes to Kentucky. But, like you said, like, where's he going to go with, you know, 3 years left, and he's a former four-star kid?
And he's small. Like, yeah. Let's just call it what it is. Like, he's small. Like a lot of teams aren't taking a guy, even if, unless he's just uber talented, which...
In which case he'd be playing.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And so you add the fact that he is a small quarterback. Like, being small in football isn't the best, or just in high-level sports isn't the best anyway. It's very uncommon at quarterback. Like, an under 6 foot quarterback, like, that's not like a thing for real. Like, it's just really not. And so he is one of those. And if he didn't have any starts and it didn't work, like, he wouldn't be able to just go from Louisville to Miami or go to Louisville and start right away too, by the way. Like, he would have to go either FCS or lower, you know,
the MAC.
Yeah, like lower, yeah. Division One. If that's what you want to do, and that'd be another reason to leave Louisville.
I never thought he showed up here thinking he was going to play from day one. I never thought that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he really didn't see the field much last year at all, what, the one game?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, just because he enrolled early doesn't mean he should have necessarily played early.
No.
And I don't think he was ready.
No,
last
clearly
year.
Wasn't.
He was not ready to play, but even though he's not the starter right now and they really like Tyler Shuck, like, I think he is ready. I thought in the spring game, I thought I could see this offense with him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I think Tyler is not going to get infinite patience like Jack Plummer did. I think they'll bench him if he stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll put Pierce Clarkson in.
Yes.
And I think Tyler Shuck has an injury history.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierce Clarkson should be ready.
Absolutely.
Like, his moment might come before next year.
I agree. And the percentages say that it will. And that's not to put anything on Tyler, but just what history tells us. When you haven't finished a season in 4 years, history tells us that the backup, that's why I keep emphasizing the quarterback room. The backup's got to be ready. And I think even coming out of spring ball, because you got to think, even though he enrolled early last year, he broke like his foot or his toe. And so he didn't play.
Yeah.
So he didn't play. And from what I was told, the way he broke it was kind of like an immature thing. Like, he did something immature, broke his toe. And so that was the thing too. He had to kind of grow up a little bit. And we all went to college, and all of us weren't very mature as freshmen in college, especially if it was supposed to be your senior year, the back half of your senior year of high school. So, like, there was some maturity things, and he had to grow up a little bit, and apparently he has. And now he's locked in. He's on football. And, yeah, he still's got his brand and different stuff like that, but it seems like a lot of that was the focus last year. That scaled back. The focus is more on football, and I think his play has shown that. I think his play has improved because of that. And that's why I think now they feel comfortable having him go into a game if need be, versus last year, I don't think they did.
And I'm kind of curious, like, because you have the two games I mentioned, like Austin Peay, Jacksonville State, if maybe a little earlier, not like the whole backups, but you give Pearson maybe a drive early in the game where, like, it's 21-0, and you just give him a drive with the ones against their ones just to see what he could do with that. going forward. And then, like, okay, put him in for where the backup's going to. But just to get, like, kind of a feel, like, hey, if we need to go to in a situation where you have the ones, can you be ready?
I think there could potentially be a package for him. We've seen it before. Brian Brohm had a package for him. Lamar had a package for him as a true freshman before he took the job. Like, I think there could be something where we see Pierce Clarkson in the game, even if it's not 21-0. Like, even if it's goal line packages, because I don't think they're going to try to run Shuck much, just the injury history. I just don't think they will. And so anything where you could potentially see some quarterback runs or, you know, run past options, RPOs, you could potentially see Pierce in the game. I'm not saying it'll be – I don't even know if it will happen, but I'm just – I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen.
Let's take a quick break here. It is time for Stump the Gas Bag.
Oh, man.
Let's do this. We need contestants. I'm fearful of summer contestants because people just aren't near their phones like they typically are.
They're living.
But we need it. Jeff needs a good experience of this as well here. So give us a call now during the break so we can come back and play. 8150-939. Stump the Gas Bag on the other side here. On the drive on Nathaniel.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. We need contestants here. Badly. 8150-939. We need folks. No one took up our challenge for us to dump the gas bag here. Are we going to have like, ringers on standby?
We could just play the Kenny Payne sound over and over again.
that did work one time.
I mean, last week McGavick called it at the very end because we needed, like, one more person.
He did. Yeah, so you just torture people by playing Kenny Payne
So that was the week that the day that Hogs Plus video had become available. And I basically was like, look, if y'all don't call in, I'm going to play this right now. we did get a couple people. I don't have any Kenny Payne sound to hang over your heads. Although I'm fully willing to admit, like, I have thought about subscribing to that thing just to see if they do anything else with him.
I think it will be funny to
watch that, because not just with him, because Cal's the exact same way. See just how little they get. Because, again, I've worked on the Mississippi State one of those. Mm-hmm. I know what they're going for and what they're hoping for, and so few coaches are really interested in that. Like, Pat Kelsey would probably eat that up.
Absolutely.
But he would be like, let's go. Let's launch this. But they're going to get... And how little they'll get by the end of the year.
Oh, that's the thing. Yeah, they're going to get as much.
They'll taper off.
You're getting everything right now because they're new and it's fresh. But by the time the season starts, I don't even say the end of the year. When, like, basketball's actually being played, oh, no, you think you can get Cal? We're not, meaning the media after games don't even get Cal.
This is like extra Cal, like behind the scenes and stuff.
No, that's not happening. And if you think you're going to get Kenny? Or think you want Kenny? You may want him right now. You may think you do. Well, actually, Kenny's like content gold. Let's be honest. He actually is content gold for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, if I'm telling you, I would not be surprised at all if those people are sitting around and like, what can we do? Well, let's just release another Kenny video. Maybe Louisville folks will do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't, like, the traffic has got to be off the charts by comparison.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're getting, like, 100 views on all your other ones, and then you get 10,000
right.
from this.
None of them from Arkansas IP addresses at all. No. Yeah.
And I'm being light. It might be, like, 20,000. It is a lot of people that saw that video.
It did a lot of mileage here. All right, we got contestants, so let's get after it here. Simon, something gas back.
Our guys know a lot about sports.
Clay Travis is still a dumbass.
There is porn on the television here.
I love a giant turkey leg.
I saw Louisville's offensive line get stoned
but we want to level the playing field, give their brains a real test.
Let us play this game for a pipe.
How has that baby not made her hotter?
And we want you to get involved.
Curse my balls.
So here's your shot. Can you stump the gas bag?
You want to do the honors of bringing them in, Mark?
I will do that. It's time to stump the gas bag, and we're going to kick things off with Bruce. Bruce, welcome in, but do you want to take on me, or do you want to take on Jeff Lightsey in one of his, not your maiden voyage, right? Like, you've done this at least once,
yeah,
right?
He's done that twice. You were here last week, too. Mm-hmm. So.
You want me or Jeff today, Bruce?
I'll take on you, Ennis.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Okay, I promise it's not a lot of Celtics questions. I do have one or two.
It's appropriate.
It is.
They did have a parade today.
They did. I do have one Celtics-related question I'll ask off the top here. With Al Horford winning his first title on Monday, he no longer hosts the distinction of the most postseason games played without a championship among active players. Who now holds that dubious honor?
Oh, God.
Guess back.
Go ahead.
Is it James Harden?
It is James Harden. 166. Yeah. Chris Paul, I believe, is second, like 140-something.
I think I would have said Chris Paul if I had thought about it longer. I'm glad I just went in and fired away.
Yeah, because Chris Paul has the 20 seasons without a championship, which is the most.
He played on some bad teams. Though.
Yeah, like the Hornets teams were pretty rough. Yeah. But anyway, Mark takes the early 1-0 lead. Let's go pop culture. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of this classic film starring Jack Nicholson. The film received 11 Oscar nominations, including a win for Best Original Script. It also was voted 19th best film on the AFI's original top 100 list in 1998. Name it.
God, I know this too. I mean, I can tell you lines from it.
Hmm. 50 years?
50 years yesterday, yep.
A long time.
Gas bag, is it One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
It's not a bad guess, but it's not the right one. Because I think that was like 73, 72, like around that time too, so.
He goes, here's Johnny. What is it? The Shining.
Gas
back
The Shining. Oh, it's not The Shining.
It's not.
That was a little earlier. Or later, rather.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit later, right?
Yeah, later.
It was Chinatown.
Ah. I didn't know it was that acclaimed.
Yeah, it was like a scream
on me.
You know, Forget It, Jake, is Chinatown. Which, Inside Out, definitely spoofed in one of their scenes, which is hilarious.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, Mark's up 1-0.
So you got to get this one, Bruce.
All right.
All right.
Willie Mays sadly passed away earlier this week at 93 years old. While he's best remembered for his time with the Giants, he finished his career with this team. Name it.
Actually, know this.
Do you?
I do.
Oh, gosh.
I think.
Guess back, the Angels?
It's not the Angels.
Guess back. Gosh, I don't even. The Mets. I don't know.
It's the Mets. When you said Mets, it's the Mets.
I get no credit for that. Like I mean, I just fired that off into the whatever. It's the Mets. Sorry, Bruce. I didn't mean to do that to you, buddy. Good luck. Better luck next time. Thank you. I mean, that was just straight up. I named a team.
As soon as you said it, I looked over at Spencer like, oh, yeah. Snap, he just had it.
I love when you and Dave and Jeff, whoever fills in, when you just completely guess and it's right.
I'd love to tell you that I reasoned my way to that. I most certainly did not. Chris, you're up next here, buddy. You want to take on me or do you want to take on Jeff Lightsey?
I'll take on Lightsey.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's go. I'm doing this to you again, Jeff. College
Uh-oh.
Baseball. Last week I was like baseball and hockey, and I might do that again to you. But Tennessee is looking to win their first ever College World Series this year. They would become just the second overall one seed to win the whole thing since seeding began in 1999. Name the other.
Gas bag.
Go ahead.
Vanderbilt?
Nah, not Vandy. They had some good years, but never as number one overall.
Yeah, that's my best guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's college baseball. Might as well show that.
Gas bag. LSU.
Not LSU. Mark, you know this one?
Florida?
It's not Florida. 99 Miami. The first year they did seeding, Miami won it all. And then every year since, the one season never won it all.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Anyway, two pop culture ago, let's go. June 20th, 1998, New Edition released their album Heartbreak. It was the first appearance of this member of the group, which made the group a quintet again after Bobby Brown had left. Go ahead.
Johnny Gill.
It is Johnny Gill. Yes,
it was.
Well,
it was, let's go. Chris up 1-0 on Lightsey.
You, Lightsey.
I know.
All right. Let's go. I'll throw another Celtics-related question. This is the last Celtics question I have on here, I promise. Where did Finals MVP Jaylen Brown play college ball?
Gas bag.
Jeff.
Cal Berkeley.
Jeff had it just slightly.
All right, so now it's sudden death here, right?
Yes, it is. Let's go. How do you guys feel about new metal?
Yeah, that's a great. How do you feel about new metal, Jeff?
I'm still asking the question, but I'll just give you a heads up.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of the release of Limp Bizkit's second studio album.
Awesome.
Name this album that features hits such as Break Stuff and Nookie.
It's all you, buddy. It's all you. I don't have a guess.
I just like how excited you were to ask that. You're like, because Chris knew it was Johnny Gill that took Bobby Brown's place in New Edition. And he's like, I'm about to fire this Limp Bizkit question.
Which I knew about the Johnny Gill thing, and I just didn't get it off fast enough. And then now we got Limp Bizkit. Now we have Limp Bizkit. Yeah, I'm no dice on that.
Also, just very funny to ask people if they remember any of the names of any Limp Bizkit album.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah,
I don't know.
No one has any guess? I'll just... Significant Other.
Sure. Right.
Go for
you
it.
You could have been lying. I wouldn't have known.
Anything.
All right.
Amen.
Let's
okay.
go with some hockey here.
Sure.
Okay.
Despite trailing 3-2 in the Stanley Cup Finals, Connor McDavid of the Oilers is the favorite to win the Conn Smythe Trophy, which is the playoff MVP for hockey, for those that aren't familiar. What team was the last to lose the Stanley Cup Finals and have a member win the Conn Smythe?
Yeah, come on, guys.
Just the team. I made it super easy on you guys, hopefully.
I'll guess on the team. Let's do gas bag. The Red Wings?
Not the Red Wings.
Gas bag, Chicago Blackhawks.
Not bad guesses. Mark, I'm sure you know this. Big hockey guy.
Yeah, right. I was like, yes, I'm sure I know this too.
It was the 03. It was 03. It was the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, as they were called at the time. Ooh. The Devils won the series in 7, but the Ducks goalie, whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce.
No, I think
he won
to.
It in 7. I'm not looking. It's John Sebastian something.
Okay.
I don't know the last name, how to pronounce it, so I'm not going to butcher these goalies. It's
still sudden death.
Let's go.
What else you want to ask him about? Limp Bizkit, hockey?
No, let's go else? Westerns. June 20th, 2018, this Western TV show debuted on the Paramount Network. The second part of the final season is expected to premiere. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's all yours, Chris. It is Yellowstone.
There we go, Chris.
Chris, hang tight. We'll get you afterwards.
Oh, well done there. Do we have enough questions for one more, or do we fire them all in the...
I'll just throw
me and you. All
just right, you two. Okay. But yeah, Yellowstone has a lot of spinoffs that people apparently enjoy.
Sure. Oh, wow.
Let's. Sure.
Okay.
I've never watched Yellowstone either. So.
Yellowstone. As long as you just know, like, it is what it is, and you don't expect it to be any more realistic than that, it's pretty fun.
All right. Texas A&M. They're the other team in the College World Series final. It's
everything I just said is also true of Texas A&M.
Yeah,
it's very true.
As long as you have low expectations. Yeah. The Aggies are led by Jim Schlossnagel. He is in his 7th College World Series and 2nd with the Aggies. What program did he lead to 5? Go ahead.
TCU.
Yep. Mm. 5 College World Series, including 4 from a 14 to 17.
Yeah, they were there the last, not this time, but the one before when Louisville was there too. It got to meet a lot of Oregon State fans, TCU fans, and they love that dude.
Now he was a legend.
A&M.
Yeah, until you leave for another state school.
I loved him.
I bet.
All right. And then a couple last ones here. June 20th, 1975, this film shot at Martha's Vineyard was released. It is considered the first true summer blockbuster.
Read the beginning there again.
This film that was shot at Martha's Vineyard.
Did you say the year?
75.
Oh.
A little bit before my time.
First true summer blockbuster, as many are calling it.
First true summer blockbuster.
Shot it in 75 at Martha's Vineyard. Yeah.
75.
That's a long time ago.
Even I wasn't.
Like the only movie that it wasn't shot at Martha's Vineyard, but like I'm only thinking of The Godfather.
That's like the not The Godfather. Thing. That was
like, not Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, Jaws.
Oh wow! When I never got that.
I never would have thought that. No, never seen.
Jaws. I was trying to think of a Jaws related question. I was like, yeah, where was a shot? Maybe that. No, I'll try again next year when this time comes. And then lastly, what TV married couple coincidentally had the same birthday of June 21st, 1946? I'll take either the TV show or the couple on the show.
It's Lucy and Desi Arnaz?
It's not those people.
I don't know.
I was about to say,
no.
Born in 46.
Yeah.
That's probably a terrible guess.
You got to be old.
Whatever.
You got to be old, though. Like, your show had to be on in, like, the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Like
those TV shows the 80s, yeah.
The 80s, yeah.
Oh, well,
they were
I didn't get that
married
right
couple
all.
On the show.
80s TV.
I misunderstood that entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid guess.
I'll go, I don't, 80s TV?
They're married on the show and in real life?
No, not in real life. Oh. Just on the show.
Oh, well, hell.
I've made
I don't understand any of this question.
This question may have been really weird.
So it's just a TV couple that have the same birthday.
Yes.
It's literally.
And they're married on the show.
And on the show, yes.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't know if Jim will get this.
No clue. Well,
cheers.
Is it like Married with Children like those two?
It's close to Married with Children, but that's not it. It's Family Ties.
Okay.
Stephen and Elise Keaton, both the actors in real life have the same birthday.
That was rough.
That was rough.
That was rough. Mouth.
That's why I put them at the end of the question list, so I had a good chance it was just you two. I was like, well, also I forgot Dave was leaving, so I was like, yeah, this may be good.
I don't and want just like, to count for anything.
Oh boy, but that's the last question for this week.
Good
hopefully
job,
next
everybody.
Week is a, I guess, better showing. For all of us.
Get Chris taken care of. Good job, everybody. Look, if you want to get in here, you can. 8150-939. That's the number. 3831939 for the UPS jobs. Text line if you'd like to hit us up that way as well. A couple of texts in. I'm shocked Jeff doesn't know Limp Bizkit fact. Not a big Limp Bizkit guy. Me either. Text said they just heard a Teams notification in the background and it triggered them. Yeah,
oh,
that
you'll work.
It does happen. It does. I'm glad I avoided the corporate jobs when Teams like took off as a thing.
Oh yeah, it was. It's definitely a thing. Like very much a thing. Like Microsoft has a monopoly on Teams. Like they make sure everybody, every corporate office everywhere has Teams on and use it a lot, and it is annoying. So yes, I could see how hearing that notification can spark something
think
in your brain.
Ubiquitous enough that like we don't use it, but I know the sound.
Yeah,
like I hear it enough to know that's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely, and it's very very triggering. It can be triggering.
According to John Rothstein, just a little bit ago, within the hour, the D1 Council is going to vote next week on whether or not two public exhibition games against other D1 programs could replace closed scrimmages and exhibitions against non-D1 opponents during the preseason. If passed, this would significantly alter the sport's preseason. So it would be a chance to play, save for Louisville to play Bellarmine in the preseason.
That would be
nice. As an exhibition game and that sort of thing. I don't hate that idea.
Not at all. That's actually a lot of fun. Like, that's pretty cool because I'm sure they'd open it up for certain schools. You could even get, I mean, they broadcast spring games. You telling me you can't broadcast a D1 versus D1 basketball game? Like, that sounds like fun. People would go to it. Like, they'd pack it out like it was a real game. Especially, like you said, a team like Bellarmine or a team like, I don't know, whoever else, like around the corner, down the street, make the, you know, it's easy travel or whatever. Like, people will go and show up to that, and it'll give, say, if it's Spalding or something, and you'll get a chance to watch people that you've either watched in high school play, teams that you don't get to see play very often. That sounds like a win-win, and you could potentially get like big time matchups if the schools are close enough, potentially. So, if you don't play during the regular season, of course, too. So I like that idea a lot, actually.
Texas says, if I'm away from my PC for 3 minutes, my team status changes. I hate it. I'm glad I avoided that. I'm sure it'll come back to haunt me at some point. But I'm glad that I missed that that phase. Look, I don't hate this idea at all. It feels like there's at least part of that is maybe an admission that those early season games need to be better, a little bit more high profile games, either because of the way things are going to change, or just the fact that like, if you can, I don't know how much longer people are going to pay for Savannah State. Right.
I mean, it's tough.
So how about we make those exhibition games? Cause people pay for those cause it's just new.
Yeah.
And then that way your actual regular season games can be scheduled with like opponents that you can convince people they should pay for.
I
think it's got to be at least a factor.
Like, it should be. And this whole trying to manipulate the net ranking stuff. Like, hopefully something like this eliminates that. Because, one, you should just punish teams. I think it was Iowa State's non-conference schedule, and it was atrocious.
Ridiculous.
It was atrocious. But it is taking from last year's tournament where people were playing these awful non-conference schedules, beating teams by 40 and 50 points, and boosting their net ranking, getting them higher seeds.
Providence, I remember, also had a really bad one. It's like, luckily they got the Balfour Atlantis if I when Creighton decided to go to Vegas for that tournament. But Providence, I remember, is like, they got crushed for having a just completely bad non-conference schedule.
Yeah, it's like, what is the, like, what are you trying to incentivize? Now, the coaches are just trying to look out for themselves. I mean, because Providence, they missed the tournament last year, correct? They were one of the last four teams to miss the tournament. And they're like, okay, you know, we're going to take the approach that these other teams that got high seeds took. Beat bad teams by a whole bunch of points and boost us in the net ranking, therefore getting us in the tournament, and that's garbage. Hopefully you eliminate some of that and you get more of the games that people want to see, the games they want to see on TV and come out to in on campus to watch. I've always thought like college sports needed like some sort of commissioner, because there's no way, especially college football. I always thought college football needed a commissioner, because some of these non-conference games that these SEC schools put up, like, come on, bro. Like, why are you playing garbage state? Like, I shouldn't see you play some garbage team every... And then sometimes it's like six games into the season. Oh, before Alabama plays Auburn...
Oh, it'll be before the last game of the year.
Yeah, like before...
Kentucky's done it.
Like, before they play Auburn, they got to play some trash team or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or Kentucky, if they have five wins, they're going to get their sixth win because they play, you know...
The Citadel.
Whatever. Yeah, like, come on, bro. What are we doing? Like, no. You guys should play, like... Professionals don't get to choose their schedule. Like the Chiefs can't run from the Ravens. The Bengals can't run from the Steelers. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be able to run.
They don't get to schedule
from...
some, like, junior college the week before they play the Ravens.
Exactly. Right. Like, you don't get to choose their bye weeks. You know, I get to have my bye week right before I take on this gauntlet. Like, no.
If I think Kentucky's at Texas the week before Louisville this year. I think.
Yeah, this year, but I know what you're saying. The SEC always has that, usually that last week before rivalry week. It's always some bye games. It's like, what do you need to...
That goes all the way back to Florida and Florida State. They always play on the last week of the season. Mm-hmm. And Florida got... Then when they added the SEC championship game, Florida was real mad that they had to play Florida State. Then the SEC championship game back-to-back. This was in like a string of years where they finished in the top five every freaking year.
Mm-hmm. Early 90s?
With Florida State into the early 2000s. So they, both of them started playing bums the week before. Always. Because in 91, I don't remember who Florida played the week before. Florida State, Miami played. Then it was Florida and Florida State. And like, we're not doing this anymore. And then everybody started doing it.
Yeah.
Who has that rival the last week of the season?
Now, I hate it. I always thought it was funny when like Alabama was like, you're Alabama. Do you really need a duck?
Like Georgia Southern?
Yeah, like George Mercer before you play Auburn. Like, you're going to beat Auburn 9 times out of 10. Like, there's a few years Auburn was really good, but it's like, you don't need this cupcake game here.
No, and you shouldn't be allowed to have it. That's the other thing. Like, you shouldn't be, like, if you are, you know, the semi-pro football league, then move like a professional league.
Like, who did Travis get injured against last year? It was someone that wasn't good. Maybe it was an FCS school.
No, it was an FCS. I think it was Georgia Southern
it was someone low level. I remember because it's like it sucks. He got injured in the first half of a game that shouldn't have been played this late in the season.
It shouldn't have. Like, that's stupid. Like, that is dumb. Your potential Heisman Trophy winning quarterback goes out because you decide to play some school that doesn't matter and potentially probably cost you a spot in the playoffs. That stinks.
One more hour to go here. We'll come back. A couple more clips from Josh Hurd about the future of collectives and some interesting stuff with Dan McDonald in baseball, including some of the things that are in this budget. So we'll talk about all of that and more here on The Drive on Thunderville. Be right back.